I think today's going to be kind of blowouts. Come on, let's get into this thing. Come on, two places this morning. 1 Thessalonians 2 and Psalm 37, please. 1 Thessalonians 2, Psalm 37. Let's ask God to bless us this morning. God, we thank you. We come before your word knowing it is alive and powerful, active and effective, has the ability to rearrange and change our lives, God. That is the power and the effectiveness of your word to us, God. It is amazing that you have put yourself on page for us to know you on a deeper level, to us to have an understanding of your grace and your love towards us, your power and your authority. God, everything you want us to know about you, you put it on page so we may know you, the one true living God. Father, it's amazing what is in your word. God, help us to soak it in today. Help us to be hungry. Help us, our approach to your word, to be one that we long for it. God, we can't get enough of it. We eat it. Lord, it is more important than food. God, please, God, open our eyes to see what we need to see this morning. God, open our ears to hear exactly what you would have us hear this morning. And God, that our hearts would be wide open to be able to respond and believe what you say today. And folks, please, I ask that you ask God, God, speak to me today. Folks, come on purpose to hear from God. Come to this place ready. God, speak to me. God, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, you heard from us." We covered this last week. "You accepted it not as the word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God." That's what is it that we received? You received it not as a word of man, but for what it really is, the word of God. We covered it last week. How is it that we receive? What are we receiving? And what is our approach to Scripture? We are receiving the very word of God, the inspired, God-breathed word. He told man to write it, write this. Man wrote it, and it is. And we went over all kinds of different things last week. LivingOutTruth.com, you can catch up, catch it online, and you can go over what is it that we're receiving and what's our approach to Scripture. Powerful. And now the second half of this. Now look at this. "For this reason, we constantly thank God that when you receive the word of God," man, and I tell you what, from a pastor's heart, this is incredible from a pastor. When I preach, gang, I'm telling you what, I've never experienced this. I have had, our first time of preaching was in our living room when we first got married. This is over 20 years ago. First time, open Scripture and just going for it. And man, I tell you what, you guys, it's awesome to preach to people who are hungry for truth, and you come in, you ready, and you just, I mean, it's awesome to be able to do that. The people of Believers Chapel are like sponges, man. You're here, you're ready, you're in, and this is what I'm saying. You're not hearing this as a word of man, but you are receiving this as the very word of God. And it says this, "for which also performs its work." Highlight that, man. Underline that. Circle that. Crayola that, baby. Look at this, what it says. "Which also," what does the word of God performs its work? That means it produces. That means it goes to work in you. It is effective. It is productive. The word of God is productive. The word of God is effective. The word of God will produce its work in you who believe. Please hear that. The word believe here, it's you who trust. You who trust it so much that you come to a place to respond to it because you trust it. That's it, folks. When you understand the very power of this word and you recognize it will perform, it will do, it will produce, it will be work in me. This is a word that is effective. Do you understand when God says something, he means it? And it will perform its work. It will do what God set it out to do. And when you come to a place to recognize that it will perform its work, where? In me who believe, in me who trusts this, in me who's received it, but not just received it, but acting on it. Why? Because I trust it. That means I respond to it. That's powerful. When you understand the word of God, what it says on these pages will be accomplished, and it will do what it said it will do. So there's several things in Scripture. We can't hit them all, but there's several things that I looked at this and say, okay, God, where is your word? Where does it perform its work? And the first one is salvation, Romans 1:16. I want you to see this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Gang, look at this, please. When you come to a place to recognize this is God's word, and I stand on this, and I give my life for this if necessary, and I come to a place and say, I'm not ashamed. of the gospel. And you got to understand, here you got Paul, he's writing this to the Roman church. He's writing this to the Romans, one who has got his back whipped, one who has come to a place to be shipwrecked, one who has been arrested over and over, one who has been beaten with rods, and he comes to a place because he knows the value, he understands the very truth of this. He comes to a place that you can whip me, you can beat me, you can put me in prison, and I am not ashamed of this. No. That's powerful. Why? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you understand that this right here will perform its work in salvation? Anyone who's ever come to a place of salvation has heard the gospel through the preaching of this word. Maybe it was a tract, maybe it was a television program, maybe it was a one-on-one across the table. What it was, maybe somebody from this place at a workplace, that there was this open door that you're able to share the gospel and seeds were planted and fruit, and you never know, but one thing is true, is you had to give them some of this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Powerful. Another way that it performs its work, that it sanctifies you and I. And the word sanctify is a powerhouse word in Scripture. It means it sets you apart. Gang, do you realize that you and I, those who've come to this, to say, I'm not going to be ashamed of this. I put all my weight in this. Everything, all of my faith, all of my belief, everything is in this because I believe it, and it will perform its work in me because I trust that it will. And in that, the Bible says that you have been sanctified, and that means you've been set apart. Look at this, is the words of Jesus. He's praying out to the Father, sanctify them in truth, for your word is truth. What sanctify? What makes you different from the world? What makes you different from those who believe in false religion? What makes you different from those who don't believe this, that will reject this as truth and follow some other pattern? Gang, this is what sanctifies you. And at times, it will set you apart from friends. At times, it will distance you from family and relatives. At times, it will distance you from even your workplace, where you don't do what they do. You don't talk the way they talk. You don't act the way they act. And you come to a place that they begin to recognize, man, they are like over there. They've been set apart from us. They're different from us. Well, what does that? His word. Because when you come to a place to look in His word and say, I'll follow your word, and you're serious about that, and you're dedicated to say, God, I'll do it your way, that means, God, I'm not going to do it the world way. Can't do both. Can't do both. God, I will do it your way. Then that automatically sets you apart, sanctifies you from the world, sets you apart from the world way, sets you apart from popular view, sets you apart from political view, sets you apart from the way everyone else does it. And you come to a place, say, God, I'll only do it your way. When you understand that, folks, you become not ashamed of the gospel, because I know this will separate me. I know this will set me apart. I understand that going into this thing, that this is going to cause a rip in family. This is going to cause a rip in relationships that I once had. This is going to cause a rip even in the workplace. But it's worth it. It will perform its work. It will sanctify you. It will set you apart, because His word is true. It also matures us. 1 Peter 2:2. When you recognize this, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Like a newborn baby. Look how God just sets this up. Like a baby, man. The baby is born and it is seeking food immediately, man. It is hungry. He or she is hungry and she's looking for mom. Amazing how God has set that up to know that. That's just incredible, folks. But look up for you and I. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. So that, how is it? Why is this so important that you and I long for this? So that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Okay, God, I get it. I'm saved. I recognize what you've done for me. I understand the work of the cross. I understand me as a sinner. I understand that I was separate from you. And then you, with such a love for me, would send your son to die. I get it, God. I know that I'm born again. I know that I'm saved because of the cross, because of your work for me, because of your grace. Now what do I do? How do I grow? Right here. How is it that I mature in my faith? How is it that I grow in my faith? Right here, by the word of God. It will perform. It will bring maturity. It will bring you to a place of growing up in your salvation. What will? The pure milk of the word. Also faith. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of Christ. Romans 10:17. Gang, when you understand what it is to build your faith, how is it that you build your faith? Read this. What is the faith builder? What are we told from Scripture? What is the faith builder? It's Scripture. You come to a place to be able to build your faith, your trust in Him. You being convinced and persuaded that this is real. That is built up by reading this. Find another thing that the Word of God will perform its work. Psalm 119:24 says it gives counsel. Now please hear this, folks. My best counseling. I never pretend to be a counselor. I've got no PhD in counseling. My best counseling, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 and 11. Love to sit down with people throughout the week. You know where all of my counseling, listen, I don't got the PhD, man. Do not have the degree to sit down, lay on a couch. That's not what we do. I sit down and say, well, okay, this is what you're doing, but what does God say? Okay, you're in this situation, but how do we get there? How do we fix it? And let's fix it according to what God says. Because if we do it His way, then we'll get His result. That's just absolute fact. My best counseling is Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 and 11. That's my best counseling. Why? Because the Bible says this, your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. The Word of God is the best counsel that you can receive. That's powerful. Now, I love this. Acts 20:32 says it builds us up. Now, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able. The word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. Folks, this is an amazing word, the word build up. It means like construction. If you are a contractor or you have been building anything or you build a foundation, this literally means one block on top of the next block. One block on top of the next block. One block on, and you begin to build up something that is constructed so that when things come, when the winds come, when the waves come, when it just slams against the house, your house stands firm. Why? This is the word of grace. Has the ability to build you up. Gang, how many times do we have to come to a place to be solid when the storms of life hit, to be built up one block on top of the next block, on top of the next block, on top of the next block, and you're building the structure that is unshakable. You're building the structure that will not be torn down. How does that come? It will perform its work in you who believe. It is the Word of God that builds us up. Jesus Himself in Matthew 7 says, listen, if you hear these words, those who hear these words of mine and act on them, those who hear these words of mine and believe them, those who hear these words of mine and respond to it, are like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell and the flood came and the winds blew, his house did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And he says, those who build their house on the sand, those who have not taken his word and acted on him, build their house on the sand. The rains came, the floods came, and the winds blew. And great was its fall. Gang, why is it that you can see this family go through just tragedy, hurt, brokenness, unknown, loss of blood, loss of children, loss of finances, and you see this family come to a place when the dust settles, they stand strong. We have so many families who have gone through so many difficult times, and it is by their faith that when the wind came and the rain fell, and the floods just pounded. The Bible says slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall. Because those are the ones who heard the words of Christ, this right here, and acted on it. They are the ones who take Acts 20:32 and understand it is His word that I can build up and construct and build and build and build and build. For when it comes, it will not fall. And we have so many families who have gone through so much hurt. And I'm so privileged to see their faith be so strong today. Because they've understood this. It will perform its work. It will build you up. It will build your faith. It will come to a place that in the seasons of life, when it slams against your house, you will not cave. And then you see the others who don't respond to the gospel, who maybe come to church and maybe they hear the word, but they don't really come to a place to believe it. They don't really come to a place to understand. They really don't come to a place to respond to it. They just hear it, do the Cheerios deal, and it's over. How many times, unfortunately, have we seen the winds come and the rains come and the floods come? And then they're nowhere to be found in faith because they folded like a deck of cards. And I honestly believe it's because they didn't come to a place to understand that this will perform its work.
Amen. Amen.
In you who believe, it will be effective to those who trust it. This is the power of His word, folks. So the question is this. Are you? Seasons will come. Know that. Life happens. And it is time that tragedy comes. And you will go through different seasons of life. Some will go through more tragedy. Some will go through less tragedy. But we do know that there will be seasons of life that will come. What are you building it on? Honestly, what will happen, folks? Have you come to a place to say, I will do my life your way, God, I'll do it your way. This is the way I will do it. I'll build my house on the rock. God, I will build one block after the next block after the next block. God, I'll build my house on this. For when the season comes, God, when the dust settles, I will stand strong. Me, my house will stand strong. My wife will stand strong. My children will stand strong. And we will endure the storm and we will stand firm. Why? Because we have been founded on the rock and your word will perform its work because I believe it. Powerful, folks. And that's something that you have to come to a place to decide. The Bible says it also brings hope. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, through the perseverance, knowing, we covered this last week, knowing that this is true and it endures forever, it cannot fail. Knowing that. And knowing that it brings encouragement. What happens? What's the result? That we may have hope. And man, just even thinking about this poor young man who took his life. Gang, people need hope. People need hope. People are without hope. The only way we have hope is through Christ. We understand that as the church. We get it as a church. But are we serving our community? Are we serving our workplace? Are we serving our families? Are we serving our neighborhoods? Being that to where our faith comes to a place that you honestly, you need to come to a place in your faith that's no longer about you. You need to come to a place in your faith that's not just about me and all my struggles and all my hurts and all my, but I will be light and I will be salt and I will be on top of this thing and I'll begin to live up so that my neighborhood will see light and my workplace will see a difference in me and my workplace will see me stand on my own two feet and they will see this boldness. They will see me being unashamed and even going through the different seasons of life. It won't be about me, but God, I will be about you. And in that, I will bring hope. And in that, people will understand that my only place to stand in my faith is because Jesus Christ has given me the hope to endure.
Amen.
But man, we have this sense in church of these little wimpy, them just thumb-sucking saints that it's always about little weak me, everything goes wrong, I can't handle it. When is it that you and I look at this and grow in our faith to come to a place, say it's not about me anymore. My faith is firm. My faith is strong. My family is secure. Things are on target for me. I recognize all that God has done for me. And man, I am in this. My faith is come to that place that it's not just about me, but now it's about everybody else who's hurting and broken, who needs salvation, who understands what it is to be lost, broken, hurting, and without hope. That maybe because I'm not just so inward that I become outward, that I will be that salt and I will be that light and I will be the ambassador for Jesus Christ, that there will be hope. Hope again in lives around me, and there will be light and life, and I will be that preserving agent of salt, that there will still be hope. When do we turn this around that it's no longer about us and our thumb-sucking ways? Did we really come to a place that my faith is strong, that it isn't about me?
than it is about those who are without faith. When do we get there, folks? That's true. Isaiah 55 says this. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth. Look at the purpose here. And making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Look at rain, snow. It comes on purpose and it comes and it brings life. There's a purpose to the rain and there's a purpose to the snow. And it's not going to come without a purpose. It's not going to show up and do nothing. It is going to water. It is going to bring life. It will accomplish what God set out the rain and the snow to do. And look what he says about his word. This is verse 11. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty or void. It will do what I set it out to do. Just as the rain and the snow waters the earth and brings forth life, my word will go forth and not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. This is what God says about his word. It will do what it set out to do. When you come to a place to believe this and respond to the word of God and say, I believe that it will have impact in my life. God, you said this and I'm responding to it and I'm trusting in it and I'm believing in it. That God, you said it will not return to you empty. It will not come back to you void. It will not come back to you without a purpose. That it will accomplish, God, what you have said it will accomplish. Do you have that much trust and faith in what God has said, folks? And you come to a place to say, it will accomplish what God said it is my desire to accomplish. And it will be successful in the matter in which I sent it. When you understand that this word has been tested, it has been tried, it has been purified. It has been refined. That you can come to a place to say, yes, I trust that it's true. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. And Psalms 12 says this. Every word of God is tested. He's a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do you believe that, folks? Do you honestly believe that? It's amazing that right after he says, this is refined, man, this is true. Then he says, he is a shield to those who take shelter or those who take refuge in him. Do you believe that? It's amazing to me, the lineup here. God tells us you can bank on this, man. You can trust this. This has been refined. This has been tested and it's absolute. And I will be your shield. And if you come to me, I will be your shield. And you can take shelter and refuge in me. Do not add to his words or he will reprove you. And you will be proved a liar. See, anybody who adds to this, that's not been tested. And that's when you get hung up. That's when bad things happen, when you start adding to his word. Psalm 12 says this, and the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. And here I've got a 1 ounce piece of pure silver. It's an eagle, American Eagle coin. Renee and I try to collect these. They're about $17, 20, 24 cents. Wish they were a little more. That'd be great. But that's what this is worth right now. And if I take this to a bank or I take this to a collector, you know what they're going to do? They're going to look at this and say, yeah, that's it. That has already gone through the test process. That's already been refined. All the impurities have been taken out of that. We know that. It's certified. It's tested. It's true. It is what you say it is because it's certified. It is what you say it is, that it is pure silver. It's fine silver. It is exactly what it's worth. Why? Because it's been tested. Gang, do you understand? Do you understand that this word of God has been tested and it's been tried? It's been refined as silver seven times. So that when you take this, you absolutely know that it's true. Why? Someone asked me, why do you preach with such passion? Because I know this is true. That is why, folks. Because I know if you act on this, your life will change according to what God said. I know that. Why? Because I know that this is tested. I know that this is true. And if I can get you by the conviction of God to walk in such a way that this is true, then you will know it is tested and it is true. And God is who He says He is. His word will do what He said it will do. That's what God said. It will perform its work. It will accomplish what I desire. That's what God said. Why do I preach this such? Because I want you to get this, man. I believe that this is absolutely true. True, because it tells me it's been tested and it's been refined and it's true. Go on, Psalm 37, we'll close this out. Psalm 37, verse 3 says this, man, please hear this. Folks, please don't miss this. Come on, tee this up, man. Hit this thing. You got to see this, please. Trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the new day. Verse 7, rest. That means be still in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Do not fret because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. What happens when you take this passage, this simple passage that has been tested, that is true? What happens if you take this simple passage and say, God, I will commit my way to you? God, I trust that this is real. God, I, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. Do you believe that? That's a serious question. Do you believe that if you say, God, I will do my life your way. God, I will do my life. I will commit my life to do it your way. That's where I'm trusting your word. God, you have given us everything we need to know about how we are to do life and how we're supposed to do it your way. God, today I commit my marriage to do it your way. Me as a husband, God, I will do it your way. God, me as a wife, I will do it your way. God, me as a teenager, I will do it your way. My life, your way. Me as a college student, God, my life, your way. What would happen, gang, if you came to a place to make a decision today, this morning, in one verse, the power of God's verse, commit your way to the Lord God this morning. My life, your way. I'd love to know the risk in that, folks. I'd love to hear your pitch to think you're going to make out better doing it your way compared to you submitting to the absolute creator of the universe who knows your every hour. Who knows exactly where you're going to be today, tomorrow, next year, 10 years, if the Lord would tarry your every breath, and you're going to come to a place to try to pitch to me to say, if I do it my way, I'm going to be ahead of the game. What happens in your marriage if you honestly come to a place to say, God, I'm done doing it my way. God, I'll do it your way. God, I'm done being a wife my way. God, you created husbands and wives. You created the male and the female. God, you created how our chemistry works. God, you created what a man needs and what a woman needs. God, you if we do it your way, we'll get what you intended for marriage. God, I commit to do it your way. God, I commit to do my finances your way. Not my way, God, I've tried it my way. God, I want to do it your way. I will do my finances according to what you say. Our teenagers, hear me, please. You're a teenager in this place. And there's pressures, and there's everybody's doing this, everybody's doing that, and everybody's going this way, and there's popular view, and the Word of God sets you apart. Seriously, teenager, you're at an age where you can come to a place and say, God, early in my life, I don't want to live with regret. I don't want to do it my way and fail. I don't want to walk the way that everybody else is walking. God, today, this morning, I commit my way to you. God, at a young age, as a teenager, God, today, I say I do it your way.
Could you imagine where you'll be in 10 years, 5 years, 8 years, 15 years? If honestly this morning you come to a place to know that this will perform its work in me, in my teen years, in my young adult years, looking for marriage, looking for a husband, looking for a wife, looking for a job, where are you going to... Could you imagine if you started as a teenager to say, God, I'm in. God, I commit my way to do it your way. God, my life, your way. Could you imagine if you started as a teenager? Why wait? Honestly, why are you going to wait to say, I'll do it in 10 years? So you're going to risk it and try your way and fail and flop and have regrets. Instead, you could do it this morning. I mean, one decision in one day, you could say, God, I will live my life your way because your word will perform its work in me because I believe it. College student, what if you came to a place and all the decisions that you have to make as a college student? God, I don't want to do it my way. God, I want to be where you would have me. God, you have put this desire in my heart. I believe it's from you. God, help me to fulfill this desire. God, I'm not going to do it the way everyone else does it. God, I'm not going to do college the way everyone else does college. God, I will do my life your way. Could you imagine as a young adult, you saying those words? Could you imagine it being single, saying, God, I commit this morning as I'm single that I will do it your way. God, I'm about to graduate and I don't know what I'm doing, but God, I do know that I'm going to commit it to you and I'm going to do it your way. Where do you think you're going to be if you do it? If you honestly do it the way you do it, or you do it the way he says to do it, honestly, please think it's a simple, simple equation. How much further are you going to be if you do it God's way? Well, let's bow our heads, please. Husbands and wives, what if you come to a place this morning? God, I'm tired of doing it my way. You take one verse, man. You take one verse, Psalm 37:5. One verse. Commit your way to the Lord. God, I will live my life according to your way. As a husband, God, I'll live my life according to your way. As a wife, God, I'll do it your way, God. As a young adult, a college student, God, from this day forward, I'm done doing it my way. I'm done doing what everyone else says I'm supposed to do, and God, I'm just going to do it your way. I commit to it, God. I roll it over to you. Man, I believe in our teenagers that you have such an ability to be so strong and so bold and be a life changer for the people around you. What happens in your teen years if you honestly come to a place? Say, God, for the rest of my days, I'm done doing it my way, God. I'm going to live my life your way. I'll take the hits, God. I'll take the persecution. I'll take the making fun, God. I'll take, if I have to be alone, then God, I'll take being alone. If I'm not going to go the way the world goes, God, there's times and there's seasons in my life that I'm going to have to do it alone. And you're going to have to be okay with that. Honestly, this morning, if you come to a place to commit to this, you're going to have to be okay as a teenager not to do it the world way. You're going to have to be okay as a teenager at times to fly alone. At times to say it's not worth that relationship. It's not worth him. It's not worth her. It's not worth that crowd. It's not worth being popular. It's not worth blending in. At times in your life, honestly, please, teenager, hear this. If you commit to this morning, please, please be aware that there will be times that you will have to fly alone. There'll be times that you're not going to be the popular one. There'll be times that you're going to have to be set apart. There'll be times that you're not going to fly with him or with her. There will be times that you're just going to absolutely say, that is not about me anymore. And you're going to have to take the hit of flying solo. But when you know the end result of that, that in this, God, I've committed my way to do it your way, my life your way. And in that, God will bring joy and life and peace and hope. And then you don't ever have to walk with regret
As a teenager, you can look around and see everyone else is having so much, what they would say is fun. And then 5 years down the road, you're walking into a place where you're full of life. And you have no regrets. Because today you said, God, I commit my life your way. And in doing that, God, I know that at times I'm just going to be me and you. And I'm okay with that. Man, all heads bowed, please. I ask you to do something this morning. If you're a husband, you're a wife, you're married, you're a college student, you're a teenager. That you would take God at His word, one verse. Commit your way to the Lord. My path is your path. My path is your path. My life, your way. All heads bowed, I'm asking that if this is you this morning, you say, I'm in, man, I'm in. And you can honestly declare this morning before God, God, my way, my life, my path is your way. I'll take the hits that I need to take. I'll take the persecution I need to take. I'll take the funny looks. I'll take the people talking about me. I'll take being alone. Me and you. God, I'm all right with that. God, I'm okay with that. Because my path is your path. And today I commit. I take this one verse that will change my life. If that's you, I'm just asking you, put your hand in the air, please, right now. Put your hands in the air. Say, God, I'm serious about this. Put them up high, man. Don't hold them down. Say, God, I'm in. Let me pray over you. Father, please, please, God, this is so real. God, see her hand. See her commitment, God. See her heart, God. God, your word, it will perform what you said it will, God. It will do what you said it will do, God. We put our hands up to you, God. Say, I commit this, God. No longer my way, no longer my path. God, I'm on your path. My feet will go on your path, God. God, I will live my life your way. God, I commit to taking the hits. God, I commit to taking the persecution. God, I commit to taking the stares, the funny looks, the people talking. God, I commit at times I'll stand alone, me and you. And God, I'm okay with that. Because today my way is only your way. And the path I walk is only the path you give me. As a college student, God, I'm in. I commit to this, God. Your direction for my life. It's a marriage, God. We know now, do marriage your way. Lay ourselves down. Walk in repentance. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in grace. Walk in love. Walk in kindness. God will do it your way. And in that there will be love, joy, and there will be peace in our home. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. God, thank you. Father, we love you so much.